ladies and gentlemen, Doug Stanhope. Henry Phillips, ladies and gentlemen. I know this show's run a little long. You might be tired. I know you're drunk, and I'm going to meet you there shortly. But we're recording a CD tonight, so if you just stay with us for the next little while, you'll be part of history. Small part of history that very few people will be familiar with, but history nonetheless. I get to get about 45, 55 minutes of some vulgar observations, opinions that not a lot of people are familiar with. Henry Phillips, he's just a little something to take the edge off. Tried to record a CD last night, and it was a non-smoking show. There's a little edgy. Kind of uptight. But then again, the non-smokers. If you're going to be offended by a little cigarette smoke, I got a tit-fuck joke that's going to blow your heart right through your rubber underpants. And I smoke 3 packs a day. Please hold. I'm smoking 3 packs a day in Houston. I live in L.A. 2 years ago, they made it illegal to smoke in bars in Los Angeles where I live. Yeah, that sucks. But what sucks worse is in the last 6 months, they've gone that extra step in enforcing it. They have big vice raids, vice cops going in undercover to bars now, hiding in the darkness, waiting for everyone to light up, and then they spring out of the darkness and bust you. Dress up like a smoker tonight, Bob. We're going in undercover. Ooh. We might need backup on this one. Are there any vice cops in here? You dicks. How do you do that for a living? I don't understand. I first read these stories and I think, don't you have real crime to fight somewhere? But then you think about it, vice cops don't fight real crime. That's not their job. Real cops fight real crime. Vice cops' only job is to fuck up the party. That's all they do. They bust you for having dope or having a titty dancer too close to you in a lap dance. Going to smut shops. Make sure you're not jacking off in a jack-off booth. You're a hero. You're a paid buzzkill. That's what you are. You know, the thing is, every vice is already a punishment in itself. There should be no such thing as a vice law. Every vice is only a bad habit. And the punishment is inherent in the act. You smoke cigarettes, you get cancer, you die. You don't need a ticket on top of it. I've done every vice there is, and they're all punishment in themselves. You gamble, you lose your money. The house has the edge. It's a punishment in itself. You watch too much porno, it diminishes your taste for the kind of girls who will actually fuck you. It's got a downside. I've done every vice that you can think of. I have drank till I couldn't remember my own name. I've done coke till my nose was bleeding like the fourth week of Lilith Fair. I didn't have to have someone tell me it was wrong afterwards. I figured it out all on my own. And I've had hookers before. I've had 6, 8, 15 hookers in my life. I never woke up the next day going, man, I'm glad I got a hooker last night. I'm a genius. You say I could have jerked off and saved $185. What was I thinking? I'm never drinking again. Now I gotta check my dick for spots for the next 6 months. To go to jail on top of that, that's double jeopardy. That's unconstitutional. You've had hookers before in your life, right, sir? Check with the guy at the end. He's the guy with all the good stories. There's one in every social circle. I'm it. He's it. I love the guys who say, you really fucked a hooker? You're a sicko, man. You're a loser. That's wrong and degrading to women. Aren't you the same guy who will sit in a bar and lie to chicks to last call, tell them any bullshit story you can come up with just so you can fuck her and never call her again, leave her crying by a telephone that'll never ring, you're a great guy. But a guy who just really needs a blowjob meets a girl who just really needs 40 bucks, you'd think perfect couple, but no, someone's going to the pokey tonight. Because there's a vice cop out there. I'm a vice cop and I sleep good at night knowing that nobody's comfortably high and getting a reasonably priced piece of ass on my ship. I can't make everybody as miserable as me, but if I could just make a dent in this community.
Do you watch Real Stories of the Highway Patrol? Do you know the show Real Stories? I get violent watching that show. I'm chucking shit at my TV. You dicks! It's blatant police harassment that is passed off as entertainment. Middle America sitting around with their thumb in their ass. Good thing it's him and not me. Could have been me last night.
It's almost like police propaganda reels, as though the police department made this themselves. Because it's got that constant voiceover narrative. John Law is never wrong. Officer Bob will teach you not to question authority. I'm serious. They bust people for nothing. They will always traffic stops. They pull people over for nothing because they fit a profile, which means you're not white enough today, or you look like the guy who's fucking his daughter. So he just trumps up reasons. We're going to pull this gentleman over to the side of the road. See, he's only got 3 screws holding down his license plate, and technically it's supposed to be 4 screws. So we're just going to zip him off the side of the road here, rip off his doors and his hood, and we're going to pull his luggage out and strew it across the fucking highway. And we're going to sick dogs on him, and we're going to put microscopes up his ass. It's all just routine, see? They find a marijuana seed lodged under the catalytic converter somewhere and wrestle this poor son of a bitch to the ground. And then they have the propaganda scroll that comes up on your screen. If convicted, that marijuana seed could be grown into 3 plants with proper sunlight and fertilization. That's possession with intent to distribute. He could face 99 years in a federal penitentiary. But he won't. The reenactments are the best, where they show the real cop from the story. He's some triple chin southern pig with gravy coming out of his head. He says, oh, I remember that day. We was in quite a pickle. But the guy playing him in the reenactment is some young buff guy right out of Gold's Gym with a crew cut and a cape on, sun going down behind him, filmed like Clark Kent on a mountaintop. Voice over again, Officer Bob was doling out chocolates to the war orphans when the call came in. He wasn't. He was rousting hookers for free hand jobs when the call came in. Confiscating dime bags from high school kids and then getting high all by himself in the Kmart parking lot when the call came in. It's too many laws. Everything's illegal. They keep adding more things. They just keep making more and more shit illegal. And they never take any laws off the books. They should have 10 laws in this country. That's a maximum of 10 laws. That's all they should be allowed to have. And you vote on a 900 number. So you can be a fat son of a bitch and still be a productive member of society. Then you'd have all the laws everyone agrees on, like rape and murder and burglary and assault. And then you could have half a dozen of the little bullshit mix and match laws. Don't sell drugs and wear a seatbelt.
don't masturbate on the bus and put on a helmet. And then when you want to add a new one, you're going to kick the least popular back to the people. Okay, I can't smoke in bars anymore, but I can jack off on the bus again. That way only a certain fraction of people are getting screwed at any given time on a rotating basis. I'll tell you a law I'd vote for, raise the drinking age. But that's just because I'm getting old. I was playing in Canada. It's drinking age is 18. That's unnecessary. Nobody wants to get loaded around people who have hope and their whole lives still ahead of them. No. No, sorry. Quit drinking for New Year's, quit smoking, made it 12 days, which is a personal best for me. Didn't want to quit drinking, just trying to quit smoking, but to quit smoking, I had to quit everything I love doing. I had to quit drinking. You can't quit smoking if you're drinking. Get three beers in, fuck it, you're going to die or something. Woo-hoo! Had to quit hanging around in bars so I wouldn't drink. Had to quit drinking coffee. Coffee makes you want to smoke worse than liquor does, and if you're not drinking coffee and smoking, now you're eating like a pig, and I'm already soft as rotted fruit right now, kids. I have the ass and midsection of a 52-year-old mother of eight. I can't afford to be hooning pizzas down my neck every 5 minutes when I want a cigarette. They say you get your taste buds back after a while. I was afraid I was going to have to quit eating ass. And that's just way too much to ask from one guy all at one time. Because that's very important. Eat the ass. Do you eat the ass? Yeah. Henry Phillips eats the ass. It's important. Not every day. Not after a long day of farming dung on the equator in a wetsuit. After some risky food choices in a foreign country with no running water. But after a nice bubble bath or a jacuzzi, eat the ass. It's a nice choice. Hated quitting drinking. Hate when your friends quit drinking on you, don't you? It's sad. I've lost more friends to AA than Liberace did to the virus. It's sad to see him go. You see a 30-day chip on your buddy's key ring, it's like seeing a toe tag on his cold, stiff corpse. Pictures of me. You're giving me the creeps. I'm telling you. You're going to live life like there's no tomorrow. That's what they tell you, right? Yeah. That's what they tell you. Live every day like it's your last. Drink, smoke, have sex, do drugs, blow money, and do it all like tomorrow you're going to get hit by a bus. That's what they tell you, right? What they don't tell you is what to do when you're not dead tomorrow. That's when you got problems. You've been living like that for 15 years, and now you're just drunk, broke, fat, and wheezing. You got herpes and unwanted children. You're going, man, I'm not even close to dead. I'm going to start living my life like my dad's not sending me money anymore. I've been trying to explain to the IRS I was going to file for the last 10 years, but I was counting on this dead tomorrow thing. It didn't pan out the way I was expecting. Dad gonna live life like there's no tomorrow. Here's my favorite story about living life like there's no tomorrow. This is in January of this year. It was an off-duty cop at a high-stakes blackjack table in a casino in Michigan. Do you know the story? Anyone? Yeah. Lost everything he had, pulled his gun out, and blew his head off right there at the fucking table. Well, I'm not saying it's a happy story, but man, If you're going to call your own way out, what a beautiful way to do it. What else is going to wipe the smirk off of that dealer's face when he takes your last dime? Good luck. Boom! Sorry, sir, you can't cash in your chips here. You have to go to the casino cage. I'm telling you, suicide is another thing that's so frowned upon in this society, but honestly, life isn't for everybody. It really isn't. It's sad when kids kill themselves because they didn't really give it a chance, but life is like a movie. If you've sat through more than half of it and it's sucked every second so far, it probably isn't going to get great right at the very end for you and make it all worthwhile. No one should blame you for walking out early. Every time someone kills themselves, you get a whole crew of people going, oh, he just took the coward's way out. That's all suicide is. It's for cowards who don't want to deal with their problems. If it were a coward's way out, everyone would be doing it. There's not a lot of brave people in this world. There wouldn't be a root canal or an AIDS test. Oh, fucking take the coward's way out on this. Trust me. Ask you to dance, man. Fuck you. You ask you to dance. Well, you're the one who keeps looking at her. If you're going to look at her, why don't you just ask her? Fine, I will ask her, dick. Excuse me. On the next slow song, I was sitting over there, and I was just wondering, because unless that's your boyfriend or something, I'm not good at this. Boom! Oh, he took the coward's way out. Clarence is a pussy. I knew he'd take the coward's way out. Doctor-assisted suicide? No-brainer. You vote against that, you should spend a few nights graveyard shift in a nursing home somewhere and tell me life is precious. Old 90-year-old guy moaning with dementia. Can't recognize his own kids. He's got big floppy penis lips from 10 years of catheterization. Life is precious. Turn me. I savor every sunrise. Could you empty my bag? The only reason he hasn't killed himself is he can't figure out a way to do it with pudding. If you're going to kill yourself, just do me one favor. Say it was because of my act. Can you do that? I need the press. It's the only way I'm getting famous doing this shit for a living, so if you just do me that one favor. This is stand-up comedy, and it's a dead sport, kids. You're not getting famous doing this shit for a living. I did a show Friday night. After the show, a guy came up to me as I'm whoring CDs in the lobby. He said, you know, you're really funny. I hope you make it. I thought I did make it. What the hell else do you want from me, for God's sakes? Stand-up comedy is not even on TV anymore. It's got fans, but so does arena football. You're hard-pressed to become a household name doing that either. You get a sitcom, but you're not a stand-up comic anymore. Now you're a funny actor. You're Scooch from My Nutty Cousin for the rest of your life. But you're not a stand-up comic. I should have learned to play bass. It's my friend Mark from Rat Ranch sitting down there with all the good-looking women. I don't know where his bass player is tonight. Probably home with more good-looking women. And all he does is stand up there and go, ba-bump. Boom. Ba-bump. All night. Panties coming at him. Ba-bump. Boo. Ba-bump. Cover of the Rolling Stone. Ba-bump. Hard part of the night. Ba-bump. Boom. Do you watch VH1 Behind the Music? Do you watch that show? I love that show. I can't watch it right before I go on stage because it's too depressing. makes you want to be that person. It makes you want to be that guy, especially as a performer. I'll watch an hour of that and mind fuck myself into thinking, that's going to be me one day. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be a rock star. Woo! These guys, you got 200,000 people there chanting their name. Girls are blowing roadies just to look at them up close. And I'll watch an hour of that and come out so psyched up. Like when you watch Rocky, you come out of the theater, you want to punch someone in the face. I come down to my show, oh, woo, I'm going to be a rock star. Yeah! Come down, there's 95 people chanting my name. What's my name? I don't have the slightest idea what my fucking name is. You didn't care who you're coming to see. You're only here because you got free passes or something. You could give a shit less. I try to sell CDs after my show. People file past me like I'm at a yard sale with really shitty stuff and try to avoid eye contact. Groupies, tell them about the groupies, Henry. Girls, as my act progresses, you'll hear just a faint smacking sound. It's the sound of pussy slamming shut like car doors. The more I talk, the more it heals up around the room. It's just faintly like popcorn popping in an adjacent room. You can hear it. Girls scramble out of here like their hair's on fire. Leave me and Henry Phillips all alone at the bar. Drinking complimentary shots of whatever liquor isn't selling well this week. Get to a near fist fight over who gets to rape the ticket booth, girl, before I get whisked back off to my freeway off-ramp motoring all alone with a six-pack of natural light beer, some warm sheet soap. Play so skanky the sheets have open sores. That's what I'm trying to say. Listening to the neighbors fucking. You can hear the neighbors fucking just fine because the walls are so thin. Not only can you hear the neighbors having sex, you can actually smell it at some points. Calling escort services. Sorry, Mr. Stanhope, we can't take a Chevron card. Well, fuck you then. Spend till the wee hours jacking off the bad softcore pornography without the D-scrambler trying to find titties in it like a puzzle. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Ooh, I'm a rock star! Yeah, I'm huge! When we come back to Doug Stanhope behind the comedy, Doug gets his big break in Houston when some drunken hillbilly approaches him after the show, produces a business card from the pocket of his high-water dickies, and says, hey, you're pretty funny, man. I'll tell you, you're a funny son of a bitch. Here's my business card. If you're ever in Beaumont and you need sheet metal, I'm gonna hook you up sweet. You're a funny son of a bitch. My wife didn't like it. She's out in the car. Woo, I made it. I'm not complaining. It's a great job, but could have done a lot worse. I go back to Massachusetts. I see a lot of the guys I grew up with, and it's sad. Say, what have you been doing the last 10 years? They go, things are great. I'm making $16 an hour. That's all they have to say. First words out of their mouth is their hourly wage. How much is it worth for them to have their lives suck? $16 an hour. How's Dave? Oh, not so good. He's only making $9 an hour. He was making 13, but he got laid off. But they brought him back. But he's dating a chick who's getting $14 an hour plus bennies. Do you get benefits? Yeah, I get benefits. Sometimes after a show, a girl I don't even know that's drunk will blow me for no reason. Then I take the money I saved, and I pay for my own dental. That's a benefit. See some people stuck in their shitty lives. Do you remember Scared Straight, that program? The documentary in the late 70s, they brought all these delinquent kids into prison who were on the wrong path. They yelled at them. All the prisoners told them about anal rape and all these horrible things to scare them straight, and most of them did. Did you see the 20-year reunion? They did a 20-year reunion where they caught up with all these kids 20 years later, and they all went straight except for one or something. but they're the most gray, dead, ugly people you've ever seen in your lives. They're just miserable and hunched over. They got factory jobs working at the dairy plant or the pipe manufacturing company, and you know they all wish they had a sack full of Brinks money right now out there on the lam. Wish that dairy plant had a scared straight program when they were 18. You want to be like me? You think this is funny, motherfucker? You're just going to work here as a summer job till you get your shit together. That's what you think. That's what I thought. 40 years. Look at my fucking eyes, motherfucker. 40 years. Give me your goddamn shoes. Give me your shoes. Be doing a lot worse. Because this is a sweet job as far as jobs go. They told me not to pull my dick out on stage. Specifically. It's 3 times in 10 years of comedy I've pulled my dick out or gone on stage naked. And it was appropriate at the time. It wasn't a non sequitur, hey, what else is new? Look at my dick. But evidently it's enough that now I have a reputation as the he pulls his dick out on stage guy, where club owners will pull me aside before a week and say, do whatever you want this week. I know you're kind of risque and whatnot, but could you do us a favor and don't pull your dick out on stage? So as much as I complain, you've done something all right with your life. When the only rule on your job is don't shake your cock at the customer, it's not a bad gig. Do whatever I want. I sit up here, get liquored up, I chain smoke. Just don't wave your dick at the paying clientele and everything's gold. I wonder if it's my dick. That's where I get paranoid. Is it my dick in particular? Is this a blanket rule for all the comics? Because I do have a little dick, and I wonder if I had a big meaty cock, if managers would be pulling me aside before the show. Do that pull your dick thing out again tonight. It was great. They loved it. We're going to pack the place next time. Maybe I'm just being paranoid. Because it's not the size, it's how you use it, right? Yeah. No, it's not. It's neither one. It doesn't matter how big it is or how you use it. Because by the time you find out how small it is and how terrible I am with it, it's too late. I came. What do you think of that? My personality is going to keep me out of the second date no matter how well I perform. You'll tell all your friends, but I don't give a shit. I don't know your friends. And besides, how much pussy do you get on referral? None. Not even a lick.
Yours is just fine, honey. Don't worry about it. Really, it's not the size. It's how you use it. And yours is perfect. Really, it's fine. Don't even worry.
I almost believed you too, Angel, till I found your vibrator in your panty drawer. Thing's like a foot long. It looks like it'd hold tennis balls in the fucking thing. If mine's so perfect, why didn't you buy the 3.5-inch crooked one with the hanky balls? Because they don't sell it, that's why. And if they do sell it, it's attached to a key ring because it's a fucking joke. Do you ever go to a smut shop there, hooker guy? Have you brought this lady? Has he brought you to an adult bookstore? No, never? Do you have any toys laying around the house? Who's been to a smut shop? Come on, talk to me. Have you? What's the last thing you bought there? What's the last thing you bought? Huh? A video? You don't, can't rent those? You didn't buy any weird toys or anything? Vibrator, that's it? Nothing strange? Because I went to one in Portland, Oregon, and this story is completely inappropriate, but I'm telling you anyway. Right at the end of the big wall of vibrators. $29.95. Big rubber fist. $30. Just in time for Mother's Day. It's a large rubber fist. Wrap that up, sir. I'd like to put that on my charge card. And it was life-size, too. I put my fist right up to it, and it matched up almost exactly. And anytime you can match up anatomically to anything in a smut shop, it makes you feel pretty proud, even if it is just the fist. So I'm laughing, because that's my sense of humor. Rubber fists, they got me on the floor laughing. But I'm thinking, why? Beyond why would you be into that? Why would you need a rubber fist? At what point is your own fist going to be inadequate? I understand dildos. Not everybody has 15 inches of dick to swing around to scare the children. But do you get fist envy at any point? Do you ever have to worry about the size? Do you ever have a girl dump you for a guy with a bigger fist? When could you have your own two fists inside of someone and have them say, it's not enough? I still feel some gas in there. Do you have a third fist, perhaps? Maybe that's how you can fist fuck someone and still be able to defend yourself in case trouble brews. What I'm saying is pace yourself sexually. Pace yourself sexually and you'll never have to get to the rubber fist. Sex is a very narrow avenue. There's only so many things you can do. You only have so many holes and parts. And if you try to keep it entertaining, eventually you will run out of shit to do. You try everything. Sit on me this way. Okay, sit on me this way, and I'm going to put my hand here, and you put your finger there. Have we done that before? Then let's spin around, and you can put your mouth here, and I'm going to put my finger there. Okay, did we do that? Well, then dress up like this, and I'll call you that, and you strap that in there, and you plug that in there, and you put it here. Ow, 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 ow. Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. Now strangle me with a cord. Drip hot candle wax on me. We're running out of lubricant. Who's sober enough to drive? After a while, you don't have anything left to do. I hope it comes full circle, right back to square one, where the kinkiest thing in the world is, I got an idea, why don't you lay down there as awkwardly as possible, I'll climb on top of you, I'll be way too nervous, I'll come too quick, and you start crying. How about that? And then we'll wait for your parents to get home. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to be that easily entertained again? It'd be nice to be able to jack off to a National Geographic one more time. When you're 12 years old, that's all you needed. One pair of pancake titties gave you a boner for a month. Now I have to watch gaping anus porn just to get morning piss wood. I'm in terrible shape. Had a girl say to me, you know what you're doing to yourself? You drink every night on stage. You smoke 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. You're just destroying your body. I said, don't you have 4 children? And I'm destroying my body? I could put my hand in your cunt and still flip a coin, but I'm destroying my body. I might be a little gray in the liver, but I don't have to carry my tits in my pants pockets either. Just different kinds of hangovers. Yours last 18 years. Do you have the babies? I hate babies. I can't even be in the same room as a baby. I'm not even trying to be a prick, but I don't know what it is. They give me the creeps. I don't think they're funny or cute. They don't interest me. I hate seeing pictures of them. Babies are like poems. They're beautiful to their creator. But to other people, they're silly and fucking irritating. Did you ever get stuck reading somebody's poems? Have you? And the girl brings her ratty ass notebook out from underneath the bed. I'm gonna let you read my poems. I never let anybody read my poems, but I'll let you read my poems.
no, they're really good. Wow, you must have got dumped by a lot of guys. Look at all of these. That's the way baby pictures are to me. And every time you say you hate children, people always say the same thing. It would be different if it was your own child. Yeah, well, what if it wasn't? What if I believed all you people who told me that, and I squeeze out a rat of my own on your good word, and I end up hating them just as much as I hate the screaming kid on the airplane, or the shitty kid in the Denny's booth who leans over the booth and he plays in your hair and he drools food on you and his parents think it's hilarious and you're hungover and you want to not hurt the kid or anything, but maybe squeeze a lemon in his eyes. Something that's not traceable back to me. If it was my own kid, I could do that to him all day long, and I don't know that that would ever get old to me. How do you know what kind of a parent you're going to be? How do you know that you're not going to be that shake the baby parent? I don't think those people anticipate shaking the baby ahead of time. They're not sitting in the delivery room staring down the hole going, "Get out here, you son of a bitch. I want to shake you. Push, Mama. I want to shake the baby." These people snap after months and months of... Shut the fuck up! Shake the baby! God damn it, shut up! Every time I consider having a child, I read a story in the newspaper where these parents left their child locked in a hot car for 8 hours, and his brain bakes like a muffin because one of them forgot it was in there. I've done shit that irresponsible in my life. It was with ice cream, but how do you know that you'll draw the line at that point? I don't want to take that chance, and I don't necessarily want to see the kind of child I would produce at this point in my life. That's a terrifying thought with the shit I have done to my body over the years with drugs and alcohol, tobacco. I've done so much ass. I don't want to see the kind of child my sperm is waiting to create with the shape I'm in. Because you look at guys in good condition. You watch football, right? Every other guy in the National Football League is on Sunday afternoon. Every other quarterback. "Hi, this is Doug Flutie for the United Way. And this is my boy Wacky. He was born without bones." And those guys are in perfect physical condition, and they can't squeeze out a normal kid. I would have the biggest elephant man baby you'd ever see in your life with the shape I'm in. And if I did have a freak of nature for a kid, I couldn't be one of those devoted United Way parents who has a 10-year bedside vigil just waiting for little Waterhead to blink. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be a responsible enough parent if my kid was born with a new suit and a full-time job, much less an ingrown head or something. I'd leave that baby at the closest church doorstep with a note in his little flipper hand, and I would be on the first Third World Airlines flight out of this country. I'd be living in Pakistan the rest of my life. Incognito. Plastic glasses. Fake rubber nose and mustache going, "No, no, I am not your daddy, no. Please take the chicken out of your little flipper hand and put it back in the basket. Get back on the plane. I do not have no babies." Whatever happened to freak shows? Does anybody know? Back in the 20s, like when Elephant Man was born, at least he had a job waiting for him. I don't know if they made him illegal or if they're just politically incorrect, but I don't think they ever asked the freak of nature his opinion. If I was a freak of nature, if I had like three heads or fish gills or hell yeah, I want to do freak shows. I don't want to be applying for jobs at the mall, trying to hide my tail from the manager during the interview. No, put me in the carnival, put me in the dirty cage and let people mock me for $2. At least that way I can pelt him with my own feces and it's written off as part of the show. You go to the zoo, a monkey throws poop at you, there's no refunds, it's just part of the show. People are gonna make fun of you either way, you might as well get $2 a head. You looking at me? It's $2. They make fun of you, you got 3 heads working at Pier 1 Imports. You can't pelt them with poop. You're gonna say, have a nice day. 3 times. It's not fair to a freak. I fucked a midget once. Not that I'm putting midgets in a freak category, it's 2 different things. But I fucked a midget. A lot of you might know that because I did a bit about it on my last CD. Now I have 2 midget friends up in Alaska, Kenny and Dave. And I'm talking to them one night and I say, you know, I have a whole story on my CD about fucking a midget. And they said, that's really offensive. And at first I thought it was because I used the word fuck. The language threw them off. Which I think it's far creepier to say, I made love to a midget. That doesn't sit well with anybody. But evidently, the words midget and dwarf are huge slurs in the midget community. Do you know that? Are you familiar with that? Do you know what they want to be called? Little people, yeah. Hey, I'm a little person. I'm 5'7", and that's pretty little. I don't want to be lumped in with midgets. I will call you whatever you want to be called. I don't want to offend anybody, but make up your own title. I'll call you trial size or something. I don't care. But make it unique to yourself. Little person is copyright infringement on my title. Kenny the Midget says this to me.
He said, you know, calling a midget, that's like calling a black guy a nigger.
I go, oh, yeah, it's exactly the same. Yeah, because of all the years of midget oppression, right, Kenny? The midget-only water coolers, the little tiny booster seats in the back of the bus. Every time I see a white cross by the side of the road, I thought that was a highway fatality. But no, that's where the Klan ran a midget family out of town. And this is how he follows it up. This is the best part. He says, oh, and by the way, I'm not a midget, I'm a dwarf. And he explains the difference to me, that the midget is proportionate to a regular person, only smaller, and the dwarf is the wacky kind with the big wobbly head and the nubby little arm. It's hilarious to look at. I go, fuck you then, Kenny. If there's technical differences, then no, it's not a word of hate. If there's physiological characteristics associated with the terms midget and dwarf, that's nothing like calling a black person a... You'd never call a black guy a nigger, have him get done kicking the shit out of you, and then on his way out stop and say, oh, and by the way, technically I'm not a nigger, I'm a spook. Because the nigger has a wider lower lip and a more protruding buttock. He stands about 4 inches taller on the average, but... Thank you very much for asking. I remember standing at the back of the Million Midget March, which is still pretty close to the front. And I said, you're no spokesman for the people, Billy Barty. You're just another Uncle Tom sellout to the tall man. We get angry midgets. We get about 5 minutes left. We get angry midgets. That's what our generation has to show for itself. No Great Depressions, no Cold Wars, no Vietnams. We get angry midgets to contend with. That's how bad it is for us. Everybody's angry. They got nothing to be angry at, so they're angry about nothing. Saw a bumper sticker. It said, stupid people shouldn't breed. Is that the solution? Yeah, clap it up, girly. Because you know why? I'm pretty stupid. And I shouldn't breed? My dad is completely stupid. My mother's half a fucking idiot. And I'm tired of this hate being thrown at my people. You want to get rid of the stupid people? Fine. We won't breathe. There'll be none of us left. All the fast food will be self-serve. But other than that, you'll get by okay. But let me ask you something. Who's next? Where does it end? Assholes, huh? They'll come after them next. Yeah, now we got rid of all the stupid people. I noticed Larry's kind of an asshole. They'll get rid of him. I bet you have a few friends that are assholes. Pretty close to them, too. They're gone. Then the dickheads. Hey, all the heads. Fuck it. Dickheads, shitheads, fuckheads, put them all in a bus and send them back to Fuckheadville. Then you're going to be happy? Is it going to be utopia now? Well, I don't really agree with what they did to the dickheads, but now us sacks of shit can live in peace. Not for long, girlie. Then who? The cocksuckers? You want to get rid of the cocksuckers? Then who's going to suck all the cock? You think douchebags will do it? No. You ever get your cock sucked by a douchebag? It's like a chore to them. Is that the way you want to live? My great-great-grandmother was a cunt in the late 1800s, long before it was popular to be a cunt. Just to shop at the mercantile, she had to pretend she was just surly. Is that the way you want to live again? I don't think so. I say end the hate. I don't have all the answers. I don't have a big closer. And I may not have a point, but I have a tit-fuck joke, and I'm going to use it right now like a lifeline. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hey, so I told my girlfriend I wanted to fuck her between the tits. She said, how you going to make that feel good for me? I said, right before I come, I'll stop punching you in the face. Don't you feel better now? A good tit-fuck joke brings people together as one race, the human race. I'll leave you with a few keys to good living. The key to a good life, excess in moderation. They'll tell you moderation is the key to life, but that's bullshit. Excess in moderation. Don't drink a few beers every day after work. Wait till the end of the month and drink all the beers at once. Get completely soused. Don't get a $20 crack whore on a whim. Save up and then get the $1,500 Heidi Fleiss high-class call girl on New Year's Eve and wake up with a damn good story. Don't eat the stem of the mushroom and see a few colors. Eat the whole bag and see God. Just don't do it every day. You practice in moderation, you'll never get the full effect. And don't ever learn from other people's mistakes. That's the worst advice you could get. Because other people might have fucked it up, and you could be the one guy who can do it right and be a hero for all of us. And finally, fuck someone uglier than you. Every now and then. Even if they don't deserve it, because that makes people happy. And it stays with you for a lifetime. Bobby Barnett is probably the most beautiful woman I've ever had sex with. Get into this, Henry. I need a little motivation for the closer. Bobby Barnett was this girl, not stripper beautiful, but that kind of beautiful girl who works retail. Kind of beautiful, if your life ever flashed before your eyes, you'd have to stop at that part and beat off. Find you in a car wreck, dick in your hand, and your eyes rolled up in your head, and a smile on your face. It's gorgeous. She had short brown hair and big brown eyes. kind of beauty that hurts to look at. I met her in this strange bar in Minneapolis. And when I say strange bar, I mean I didn't know anyone there. And normally I would never have the balls to approach a girl in a bar that I don't know people. My big approach in a strange bar is to go sit at the far end of the bar all alone and watch Sports Center. Like, the only reason I'm in a crowded dance club on ladies' night is to watch sports bloopers with no volume and hope someone feels sad for me. But that night, I don't know, I was motivated or just intoxicated. Sometimes, what's the difference? I talked to her, and I don't know what bullshit stories I gave her, but I played right into her hand. Whatever she said, I said exactly what she wanted to hear. She hated long hair. I was thinking of cutting it. She hated cigarettes. I was trying to quit. Whatever it was, it worked. And she said, tomorrow the Twins are playing the Red Sox. My team, the Red Sox. She goes, why don't we go to the game? You can stay at my house because it's right near the stadium. Not for sex, just out of convenience. Which is exactly what I'd tell a girl I was trying to have sex with. So I show up. We had one more drink at her house, and that led to kissing, which led to grinding, which led to some of the most vicious dry humping I've seen since junior high school. It was like porno with clothes on. It was fat. But I got to a point where I realized it's not going to go any farther than this, because every time I try to close the deal, I can't. I'm not a slut. Well, I am, and I'll show you how. It's not that hard, really. Well, I don't even know you. Well, I'll have my agent fax my bio. Come on, please. It's starting to hurt here. Finally, I gave up like a gentleman. I rolled over, curled up on a warm, soft pillow of my own testicles. Went to bed. Next day, we go to the Twins game. Twins are playing the Red Sox. This is like 1994 or 3, if you want to look up the statistics and prove this story is true. I'm being an asshole in the stadium because I'm already pissed, I'm blue-balled, and I'm a Red Sox fan. So I am trotting down, up and down the bleachers. I go, woo, Red Sox, yeah, you're going to lose, suck it, suck it. I keep doing this for 6 innings till the Red Sox are getting the shit kicked out of them. They're losing that game 5-1 in the bottom of the 6. And now Bobby Barnett, she starts talking shit. I try to call her bluff. I say, listen, Red Sox lose this game, I will quit smoking and cut my hair tonight. Red Sox come back and win, you turn loose some of that old pussy, girl. Sure, I said it a lot more diplomatically than that, but the point was, and Bobby Barnett, she's on the spot. She can't say no. She's talked enough shit herself. So she said, fine. And as soon as she said, fine, Mo Vaughn came to the plate. Boom! Right out of the fucking ballpark. The Red Sox scored 11 unanswered runs. They won that game 12-6. And Bobby Barnett sat in the bleachers and turned gray. She's driving me home. Silently. I turned to her and I said, so, would you think I was an asshole if I took you up on the bet? She said, no. So, would you think I was an asshole if I picked up a homeless guy and told you I wanted to donate my winnings to charity? You laughed. She did. Bobby Barnett made good on the bet, but it was only shortly after that that she decided she didn't like the kind of person I was. And I never talked to her again. But she didn't welch on the bet. And the thing is, generally, beautiful things always make me feel kind of empty. Like beautiful sunsets and beautiful mountaintops, because there's none of that you can take with you. You can take all the pictures in the world. It never does it justice. You use every word in your vocabulary to describe it. It never comes out the same. You had to be there. You're watching that beautiful mountaintop. There's always a guy next to you goes, doesn't it make you feel insignificant? Yeah, it really does. And I don't need to feel any more insignificant. I feel very insignificant every day. I get that. I go to my hometown bar where all my friends know my name, and I feel significant. I don't need anything less. But a beautiful woman is different. Because a beautiful woman might fuck you. And when a beautiful woman fucks you, it's like she's giving you part of that beauty. It's like she's giving you part of her soul, and that is yours forever. It doesn't ever go away. Your beautiful mountaintops will one day crumble to the sea. Your beautiful sunset might never rise again. But you fucked me, Bobby Barnett. Yes, you did. You fucked me. And 1,000 repo men with 1,000 tow trucks can never take that back. Thank you guys very much. This is the CD. Henry Phillips.